This is Weekend Edition. I'm Scott Simon. Last week on this program, we reported on the story of cancer clusters in two small towns in California's San Joaquin Valley. Seven children have died there of childhood cancer since 1984. Cesar Chavez, who for more than 30 years has been president of the United Farm Workers of America, blames chemical pesticides for the cancer that's killed the children. And, he says, sickened migrant workers who plant, pick, and cultivate the lettuce, grape, flower, olive, almond, and walnut fields in the San Joaquin Valley. Mr. Chavez told an Earth Day rally in New York City,
"Our workers and our children are being poisoned in the killing fields of California table grape industry."
Mr. Chavez has asked the American buying public to refuse to purchase California table grapes.
"The green grapes, the red grapes, the black grapes, in fact, boycott anything that looks like a California table grape. Thank you very much. Thank you."
But Mr. Chavez has declared the boycott at a time when his union, even by its own accounting, may be foundering. Of the 250,000 migrant workers in California, less than 30,000 belong to the United Farm Workers, half of the union's membership in the mid-1970s. Not only the wisdom, but the justice of the boycott has been questioned, not just by growers or supermarket chains, but several migrant workers groups who feel that grape workers, none of whom are represented by the UFW, will bear the costs of a boycott they accuse Mr. Chavez of using to replenish his union's finances and his own reputation. Adam Ortega is head of the California Grape Workers and Farmers Coalition.
The UFW is not out there amongst the farm workers. Recently, they've closed most of their full-time field offices, which they had about six of. Mm-hmm. And so the workers don't have the access to this union. Meanwhile, they're developing access to other unions and thus replacing them at the grassroots.
None of the recent criticisms of Mr. Chavez's leadership questions the dedication and bravery by which he made the United Farm Workers into a national symbol of the struggle for justice in the United States.
Cesar Chavez, Cesar Chavez, el caudillo, al que los agricultores...
Cesar Chavez, the folk hero, is how Mr. Chavez is characterized in this song by a Texas group, Los Tigres del Norte. "The growers are scared of him," the song continues. "He didn't need guns or knives, but they gave in to his demands." Mr. Chavez, who is 63 years old and the son of Mexican migrant workers, picked apricots, dates, avocados, lettuce, and walnuts as a child in the fields, often living out of a van with his family as they moved with the planting and harvest seasons through Arizona, Texas, and California. Walnuts were especially treacherous work. Mr. Chavez remembers as a child, he'd have to lift a long, rough pole into the trees that gouged his neck and shoulders as he tried to wrestle the walnuts loose from the limbs and branches. With a stamina and will, migrant workers like Juan Enriquez, who we met across from an olive grove in the San Joaquin Valley, seem to sense in Cesar Chavez today.
He supports us as a Latino, and I'm proud that he's a Chicano defending us because he's the only one who can speak for us.
There had been other attempts by other determined men and women to organize workers in the fields, but Carlos Munoz, a professor of Chicano studies at the University of California in Berkeley, says Mr. Chavez succeeded in the 1960s by connecting his cause to the history of his times, the peace and civil rights movement. Twice, when growers refused to negotiate over recognizing a union, Mr. Chavez fasted. In an industry that produces such abundance, Cesar Chavez's most devastating tactic was to risk his life by not eating.
One who has been willingly putting his life on the line, in terms of a nonviolent approach to the betterment of the farm worker labor sector in society, there's been no equal there.
In 1944, when Mr. Chavez was 19 years old and on leave from U.S. Navy boot camp, he refused to sit on the right-hand side of a movie theater in Delano, California. By local custom, if not law, whites sat on the left of the theater, Latinos, blacks, and Asians on the right. But that afternoon in Delano, like Rosa Parks aboard a Birmingham City bus, like Mahatma Gandhi on a train in South Africa, Cesar Chavez would not be moved.
I don't know why I did it. I just went and sat where I wasn't supposed to.
This was 1944?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it caused a big to-do. I went to court the next morning. I pleaded not guilty. They found me guilty and fined me, I think it was $12. And I wouldn't pay them.
Was that the first time you were arrested?
Yes.
Do you have any idea how many times since then?
Well, I don't know. 30, 40? About 30. They don't arrest me much these days.
No! No, 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 no.
It's Mr. Chavez's unchallenged eminence that's made some of the recent controversy over his tactics painful for former associates and people now in disagreement with him. I believe his leadership has become abusive and suspicious. One controversy raised by critics is over the use of television pictures of a 5-year-old boy in a film produced and shown to prospective supporters by the United Farm Workers. The film is called The Wrath of Grapes. The narrator is actor Mike Farrell.
5-year-old Felipe Franco is another victim of pesticides. He was born without arms or legs. His mother, Ramona, worked in the grape fields until she was in her 8th month of pregnancy. She was exposed to Captan, one of the pesticides United Farm Workers wants banned.
The Franco family has sued the United Farm Workers to prevent them from using pictures of their son in that film. They say those pictures, which were taped from a local television station, invade their son's privacy while inspiring contributions to the farm workers who do not contribute to their son's medical care. Mr. Chavez says he knows why the family has filed suit.
We know where it's coming from, of course.
Where is it coming from?
From the growers. Yeah, the growers went and talked to them.
They got to the families, is what you're suggesting?
Oh, sure. Oh, no, I know they did. Sure.
How do you know that?
Because I know. Talk to them.
The Franco family denies that charge and say they resent it. Mr. Chavez says he's trying to assert the constitutional right of the farm workers to show the pictures of Felipe Franco. We should mention here that the United Farm Workers say they will take legal action against us for airing this report.
We need to show what's happening with pesticides, and that's a good case to show.
Why haven't you said, if the child's family doesn't want him in the film, we'll take him out of the film? Just as a matter of sensitivity.
See, how can we say that when it's okay for them to show him, for everybody else to show him around except us? You're missing the point, see?
Well, but...
But what?
You're better than a lot of other people.
But what? But what? Why can we show that video, that part of the video?
I'm not arguing as a legal case.
I am.
You're convinced that some growers got to them? Got to the Felipe family?
Of course, we're convinced. Yeah. Sure.
Gave them money?
Oh, I don't know what they gave them, but we're convinced, sure.
And how do you know that?
Because we know.
Somebody came to you and said that? Or
yes.
Somebody in a position to know?
Yes.
Can you tell us any more about that?
No, I can't.
Well, your implication is that they were bought.
I'm not putting that strongly.
Convinced? Persuaded?
Probably.
Somebody crossed their palm, as we used to say?
I'm not saying that either, no.
What are you saying? Help us to understand this, because this strikes me as a serious charge against people who have suffered.
Well, I've told you everything I have to tell you about the video and about that.
Adam Ortega of the Grape Workers and Farmers Coalition is critical of Cesar Chavez personally.
That's outrageous. You can't take a child just because he may have no arms or legs, and there's speculation about how he got that way, and use his image all over the country without the permission of his parents. To me, it's just preposterous that because Cesar Chavez is Cesar Chavez, the rest of us are his community property.
Mr. Ortega notes that pesticides have not been medically proven to be the cause of Felipe Franco's birth defects or the 17 cases of cancer in the San Joaquin Valley, although he believes they are responsible for much sickness among migrant workers. He's also suspicious of Mr. Chavez's reasons for boycotting table grapes, while many other crops are also sprayed with pesticides, like the Captan the farm workers want to ban.
The only difference between table grapes and, say, wine grapes or raisin grapes or lettuce and broccoli, which are crops which may use the same chemicals, citrus, is that the UFW has a few contracts in those other crops, but they don't have any in table grapes. Mm. That's the dividing line.
Well, let's say that's true. Don't you have to start somewhere?
You have to start somewhere, but you have to start where you have the leverage. And if Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers Union have any credibility whatsoever, they would have that leverage in fields and in crops and with farmers where they already enjoy collective bargaining agreements.
Well, there are far fewer members of the United Farm Workers these days than in the 1970s. Few of the migrant workers we spoke with in the San Joaquin Valley seem to hold Cesar Chavez responsible for that. The growers pay my check, farm workers often say, not Cesar. They're concerned that growers will be difficult and stingy in negotiating contracts with UFW workers, hoping to weaken Mr. Chavez. But even those workers represented by other or no unions, like Anselmo Enriquez, thank Cesar Chavez for improving their wages and working conditions.
15
years ago, the workers were making much less money, and now they're in better shape. He's helped us out a lot.
But over the past decade, Cesar Chavez has made changes in the structure and philosophy of the United Farm Workers that charge some who used to be close to him have hastened the union's decline. The farm workers now depend on mail order appeals, public appearances, and other outside contributions to raise money. The union runs a sophisticated printing and mail canvassing system, but keeps few field offices to organize in local communities. Gilbert Padilla was one of the founders of the United Farm Workers with Cesar Chavez, and he remembers the man who used to be his friend with admiration for his gift for giving something of his own courage to others.
Teaching of nonviolence gave a lot of courage. I recall here in Fresno in 1973, and we had 1,800 people, farm workers, arrested, and there were no fear. There was no fear of them to go to jail. And we got sprayed with pesticides on the picket lines, and we got beaten up. And, of course, history tells you there was we lost, I think, 5 lives and picket lines and abuses and hurts. But it was done with a design of changing.
But Mr. Padilla, who's now director of a multilingual education center in Fresno, broke with Mr. Chavez in 1980. Mr. Chavez, he says, had begun to call Mr. Padilla and his wife, who also helped found the union, tools of the growers for opposing some of his actions and opinions. Many of the community organizers, priests, and attorneys who'd helped Mr. Chavez through the period of the union's rise have resigned in recent years, which, says Mr. Padilla, has only confirmed Mr. Chavez in his own opinion they were out to undermine the union. Gilbert Padilla has been quoted as calling his old friend paranoid.
Yeah, he's extremely paranoid.
How so? What did you notice?
Well, he's paranoid that somebody was trying, that a group was trying to destroy the union, and I kept saying, who? He couldn't say, well, somebody, I don't know who, but somebody. Maybe the Communist Party, I don't know, but we've been infiltrated by people who are destructive and want to destroy the union. I didn't see any.
Some of the people once aligned with Mr. Chavez have seen a connection between these accusations and Mr. Chavez's relationship with Synanon, a California drug treatment program that became, in the 1970s, a controversial psychiatric community. Synanon was accused in court of plotting kidnappings, brainwashings, and murder. Charles Dietrich, Synanon's founder, supported Mr. Chavez by donating food and money to the farm workers during strikes. Mr. Chavez and the farm workers' board met for regular retreats at Synanon's headquarters. It was there, says Gilbert Padilla and others, that they first participated in a Synanon technique called the game.
In the game, you come in and you tell him everything you really feel about him. And you use all the cuss words that you possibly can. I was good at it.
But did you like it?
No, of course not. And as a matter of fact, when people started to leave.
The union had moved its headquarters into a former tuberculosis sanitarium, high in the Tehachapi Mountains southeast of the fields in the San Joaquin Valley. A Hollywood producer, says Mr. Chavez, donated the buildings and grounds. There was some criticism, there still is, that Mr. Chavez had placed himself and his union inside a remote ethereal retreat, estranged from where migrant workers struggled. Mr. Chavez calls his headquarters La Paz, the Peace, and when we were there, there was no sight of the snapping guard dogs or bullneck security guards some of Mr. Chavez's critics say they have seen and consider threatening. He lives in a home that seems comfortable but scarcely opulent. A man who earns a reported $15,000 for each speech on a college campus might be able to afford to reupholster the thread-worn pink sofa in his living room. Mr. and Mrs. Chavez instead put cloths over the arms and pillows. Most of his speaking fees are used to support the union. Everywhere, every few minutes, even seeping through shut windows and quivering the knobs on closed doors, there is the sound of freight trains rolling by. Mr. Chavez says he and his former union officers never played the game. Instead, he says they had sensitivity sessions and applied nothing he learned at Synanon to his leadership of the United Farm Workers.
I don't want you to do a job with me.
Well, I don't want to either.
But it looks like it pretty much that way. I don't have to have an interview with you if you're going to do that. I told you. Sensitivity sessions are not what they use. They use the game, which is a very rough thing that they use. We didn't use that. So why are you asking me again? I just told you.
Your sensitivity sessions were not.
But I just told you, and you're insisting you're trying to make something.
No, no, I'm trying to understand.
No,
that.
But I want you to be professional with me.
Well, I'm trying to be.
If you're a professional, I'll deal with you. If you're not going to be professional, I'm not going to deal with you.
I'm trying to be a professional.
You're not doing very well.
Sometimes I don't.
I don't need to interview, you know. I don't need to interview.
I know. I understand.
If you just keep on a professional basis, I'll do it.
Well, how is this not professional? I mean,
you're trying to put words in my mouth. You're trying to put words in my mouth. Yes, sure, you did.
What words did I put in your mouth?
And I resent that very much.
I'm not aware of it. What words did I put in your mouth?
I told you that the difference between what we did here and what Synanon did, you come back and you say, oh, you were trying to use Synanon tactics. I said, after I told you that.
Well, I thought I was trying. I thought I made that a question.
No, you know what you're doing. I've been interviewed many times. And I don't appreciate that.
I don't appreciate that.
You understand very well. Don't put words in my mouth. Okay? Let's go on with the interview. I don't appreciate your interview at all. It's really, really disgusting to have you do that, you know.
I'm terrible. If he wants to turn around.
The interview was over. Chavez walked out ahead of us, his press representative stayed behind, ran ahead, then came back after speaking with Mr. Chavez to tell us all other interviews with other union officers were canceled and we should leave La Paz. When we returned to Washington, we were told in several phone calls that the union will sue if we air any report on Cesar Chavez. Well, Mr. Chavez's call for the boycott of California table grapes may bring attention to the use of chemical pesticides. Some of his critics and former allies charge that this cause may be mostly pretext to rebuild his union and divert doubts about his leadership and bearing. But among many migrant workers, even those who voted against affiliation with the farm workers, any current doubts do not seem to defeat the debt they feel they owe Cesar Chavez and the trust they seem willing to keep with him now. Carlos Flores is a rose worker in the San Joaquin Valley.
At least he's been trying. God knows, forgive for what he's gone through and try to do for us to make it better.
This fight, once won, will give the union back its strength so we can then go and do the other good fights with the other workers that need help, not only in California, but throughout the other states. And together we shall win. Thank you so much. The victory shall be ours pretty soon. Thank you.
A report was produced by Mondelit Del Barco. This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Scott Simon.